Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. It is warm outside and friggin' freezing in the studio. I'm so stupid. I should keep a coat here all the time.
Honestly, our show ended 3 minutes ago, and I feel like the temperature dropped 10 degrees.
Yeah. I actually agree.
Do you think that's because you left and came back?
You know what, Kevin?
Like when
that
you're
could
in a pool,
it.
And you get out, and get in the hot tub, and then get back in the pool.
I had no idea what he meant by that.
I just, you go somewhere, it's warmer, and then you come back in, it's chilly.
Pretended like, oh.
Listen, we're from Roxana and Granite City. We don't know what pools are.
Yeah, thank you. Just thanks for rubbing that in, though. First time I saw a skating rink, I was just like, what's happening? These people are rolling on shoes.
What happened the first time you saw wheelies?
I mean, for real. It was just mind-blowing. I took swimming lessons when I was probably 12 at the Roxana pool. And again, that's the first pool I'd ever really seen, honestly. I sound like, I don't know, like I'm from the Civil War or something.
Civil War General Glover.
I remember this. There were stations. And the very first one was put your face in the water. And I'm like, I'm probably going to be an Olympian. And so I put my face in the water, and then it was push off the side of the pool and, you know, a little torpedo. I did that. Swear to God, this is true. Then it was swim the length of the pool. There was no in between. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going to live here for a week. And I did. I never moved on because I was right next to the high dive, which was the next station. And I'm like, you can take my kidney with a fork before I get up on that high dive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I just sat there with all the other losers who couldn't swim the length of the pool. And about twice a day, and it was two, like, 15 or 16-year-old kids teaching us that were flirting with each other. And I was wearing my cut-off jeans that were cut off like the Fred Flintstone.
Shark teeth.
And,
To swim in.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Again, South Roxana. And about twice a day, the kid go like, hey, you blue jeans, give it a shot. And here's what I'd do. I'd get right there. I'd just, like someone drowning, I'd be like, and just splash around for 8 feet and then get back out.
Oh,
I did that for a week. That was it.
Did you chafe?
It was a little swampy.
It feels a little swampy. Chafy.
Yeah. Because you'd get out and you'd dry and then you'd get back in. So,
right.
Not ideal. Speaking of being from the Civil War, I was thinking about this today. So I'm not a million years old, and neither are you, but I bet everyone here square danced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Once
in high school, we had to learn it.
Yeah, one time, but it was in like class. Seventh or eighth grade.
It was everything to the teachers when I was in.
Mm. Oh.
And this would have been like in the late 70s, not the 1870s, like the late 1970s.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I don't understand why they always reached back so far. And in music class, it's the 70s. Mm-hmm. I understand you're not going to, you know, teach us Van Halen, but 15 Miles in the Erie Canal and Don Gatto the Cat, it just really skews what you think music is.
Yeah, it does.
It is funny that that part of school curriculum persisted as long as it did.
Yes.
Square dancing seems like a very obvious anomaly to everything else.
Very much so.
We had a thing. It was called senior dance, and it took the place of a gym class, and it was one semester, and that's what they did. They taught you to waltz. Mm-hmm. They taught you the square dance, which
waltz.
Did you learn English line
dancing?
Did
you learn
dancing?
Salsa?
We did not learn salsa. I don't think
it's too racy.
Is like where you like.
I will say this though: the square dance couldn't get it. Could
really?
Not get it.
No,
nope.
I think I went
tried.
Through puberty doing doing the do-si-do. I really do. Like before that, girls were just icky, and then I do-si-do'd with Laura Wilburn. I'm like, I feel funny. I should go to the office. I should lay down for
I
a
need
moment.
To sit. Do we have a fainting couch?
You're crying like, oh my God, I get it now. I get it all.
I'm a square dancer.
Oh, I have found my passion.
I shall do nothing but square dance from now on. It all makes sense.
We did that same stupid crap in the mid-80s. Like, square dance.
1995, man.
When I was,
you guys did?
Yes.
Oh my God.
When I was in 10th grade and I tried out for the first band I was in, Raw Toast, and I had never heard modern music. I'm not exaggerating. Like, again, Don got, I was preparing, you know, I was playing the drums to 15 miles on the Erie Canal. And so I get there and they're like, okay, we're going to start with Paranoid by Black Sabbath. I'm like, cool. And what I would do is I would drop my stick on purpose, hear the first few bars, then play it. And afterwards they're like, well, you can definitely play. You're in the band, except, man, you got to hold on to your sticks. So I came clean. I'm like, I don't know any of these songs. I've never heard of Mr. Hendrix before. So, and then, Chris, you'll love this.
Move.
The first gig we did, I had to leave at 11 because that was my curfew.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
How'd you get home?
A friend of mine was there who played drums.
Okay.
And he took over for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really cute. That's
amazing. It is very cute. Mom had to come get you, pick you up. I dropped the stick so that I could listen to the song. That's so funny.
I'm sure we all feel this way, but my teenage years, like from 10 to about 15, were just a sitcom. I was just lost. And I wanted so much. That was the thing. I wasn't just okay with being the square dancing kid. Like, I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be something, but I didn't know that pools and roller rinks existed. I had no idea how far behind the starting line I even was.
I'll tell you what, the roller rink, that was a great time. When you're in grade school and you get the roller parties on Mondays, I think it was like Monday nights, the first Monday of every month. Oh, that was the best.
But then they would have the couples dance. And I know our like group of girls would be like, couple skate.
Yes.
And we would all like, hi, skate into the bathroom. And we would skate to the bathroom.
Just to avoid the boys?
Yeah. And it was always, the bathrooms were always like baby blue or baby pink.
Now, did you secretly want to couple skate, but you were too afraid to?
You know, I don't know if I did. I didn't think that much through it. It was just like always hysteria. Yeah. And that was like the fun of it. I don't even think we thought boys are gross. It was just you freaked out and everyone skated into the bathroom. And I think it was a spectacle that we loved. We lived for the spectacle of, hurry, get in the bathroom.
That's what I'm doing the show now for Ranji because the other guys know these stories. But my running to the bathroom was when we would go to the Roxana Theater every Saturday matinee. We have season tickets like the Muni. And halfway through, they would turn on the lights and they would play games. And I never wanted to be a part of the games. But one time they called on me. Mm. And so I had to. Here was the game. It was a 16-year-old kid probably working there, 17, 18, what have you. And it's guess what's in the sock.
Don't like that game.
It was a pretty large banana.
Oh, come on.
Swear on all things holy. Swear on my kids' lives. And the guy just stood there like this. And I'm like, and so I grab it. I'm like, it's a banana. He's like, are you sure? And I'm like, it's a banana, sir. Are you positive? And I'm like, ugh. So then after that, I couldn't relax during the movies.
No,
I'm like,
dude.
I'm just waiting for those lights to come on. And I would just run over people like there was a shooting going on just to get in the bathroom and hide.
That's got to.
Oh, it's probably illegal.
It's a crime.
Yeah,
it has to be.
It
was not in the 70s.
Guess what's in
everything
the
was
sock.
Okay in the 70s.
Yeah, there's lots of banana grabbing in the 70s.
Oh, my God.
We just didn't know.
You know
I didn't even win anything. It's not like I got one of those orange sodas in a plastic orange or something.
Oh, you didn't win a prize?
Well, I mean, my prize is humiliation.
Oh my God. Aww. I got a party this weekend to go to. I'm going to bring Guess What's in the Sock. See how that goes. I might enter the party playing it.
Make people ask.
Dude, what's in the sock? Glad you asked. Now for the fun
just
part.
Just carry it around over your shoulder.
What?
They're like, it's a plantain. Fairly small.
What's in the sock?
Yeah, that happened. That happened in my life. That happened when I was 12.
Because I'm hearing that from in Brad Pitt's voice. Like, what's in the sock?
Don't look.
And the more I think about it, the funnier it gets.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, oh my God. So Rach went to private Christian school, mm-hmm. okay, dork. You were homeschooled.
Yeah, write me out completely.
Dork. I was just raised in a sociology experiment, dork. Like the three of us together.
Power dorks. The Powerpuff dork.
I'm looking your way. I
think I was cool.
I know a couple of your stories.
Good thing I didn't wear jean shorts until I was like 18 years old.
Wow. Did you every think you were day. Cool though? I sense that you probably thought you were cool.
Okay, so I knew I wasn't cool until I kind of found my niche in the marching band, and then I was like one of the cool.
How did I not see this coming?
I was one of the cooler people in the marching band.
Like
I was,
you think?
Yeah, I was popular in the marching band.
It's like being one of the skinniest kids at fat camp.
And so I really came alive in marching band. I was the popular.
Do you still maintain, Roger? I don't know if you know this. Do you still maintain that it is equal to greater athletics?
Mm-hmm.
Stamina and coordination to be in the band and the football team.
100%. 110%.
Well, I'm sorry. What?
I didn't look like this when I was in band. I was ripped.
But they didn't make you, like, run laps or anything.
No, but you did, you, like, marched around the field holding this, like, 10-pound instrument.
But I don't know if that equals being on the football. Well, like, I get that it was probably a good workout, but I don't know if it was, like, equal to being on the football team and doing two-a-day practices.
This guy's like,
I think it was.
All right.
When you say ripped, uh-huh. like Brad Pitt in Fight Club ripped?
I was like I had like abs. I was
how many?
Tore up. Yeah, two-ish. Had a two-pack.
I think dude, Kevin's guy, reaction.
This guy. That's so good.
Kevin doesn't know jack about marching band.
Andrew trying to court a lady, and he's like, so you could date the quarterback or somebody who's yoked like me.
He's got an ab.
Who's playing the one. I'm carrying a sousaphone around.
Amy's like, want to feel my ab?
I was as jacked as the quarterback, I can promise you. I was tore up.
Jeez. I don't know. It's all relative. I had a friend who was like kind of dorky. I mean, he was a runner, so it goes without saying, but he was like into I got to be careful here. He was into, like, video games and trading cards. And so... Oh,
so, Andrew.
Yeah, you're just talking about me.
But he took another guy to, like, the, I don't know, trading card store. And the man's like...
And everybody was like, wow, he's jacked as hell.
Yes, they go. He goes, if I can see why you come here, you're like the James Dean of the trading card store. And,
I'm still riding that popularity from the marching band.
So did you perform at football games and
performed at football games? We did competitions. We did like a competition tour where like every weekend you'd go to a different school. We go to like Mattoon or whatever.
And you're at the stadium,
Eastern Illinois,
and you're playing Mattoon. as the football team runs out of the tunnel. Or you guys all like, look at these losers.
Yeah.
Come
they don't
out
know,
the
they
field.
Don't know the real. Everyone's here to see the marching
yeah,
band.
That's right. Picture you doing
they all
your,
leave after
doing
halftime.
Two a days with your euphonium.
Uh-huh.
And then just sitting it down and taking your shirt off and squinting like Steve McQueen against the sun and letting that ab.
Oh, yeah.
Let it eat.
I was flexing like crazy. You better believe that. I knew that wasn't going to last. Because we would do so.
Were the flag girls just all over you?
Oh, they loved it. Are you kidding me? So we would do something called band camp that the football team.
This one time
heard
of that band camp.
Something called
that the football team was scared because we would do two straight
band
weeks.
Band camp. That's what we call. That's what I call
we would
it.
Do two straight weeks. We would do 10 hours
because I love
people
it.
Are calling it
that's
band camp.
That's what we called it, it did, because it was,
there was
band
a,
camp.
There was a real trump to that.
Yeah, like, for sure. Band camp.
We called it a cruise ship. I was on a cruise ship.
Camp. We called it band camp.
I don't know what anybody else calls it, but we call it band camp.
I don't know what y'all call it. We called it band camp.
The quarterback wanted to be me.
But it would be 10 hours a day in the hot sun.
Damn.
5 days a week for two straight weeks.
Oof.
It was rough.
That's awful.
It was difficult. They got kids out there doing that.
How'd you fill that time?
Marching and learning our drills.
How intricate was it?
Depending on who you are, right? Like they would give the more trustworthy folks like a little more complicated,
like more flair.
No, not necessarily more flair. Not everyone was equal in the marching band.
There was a hierarchy.
I see. You could be bad band member.
Yeah.
Like somebody who's bad at marching or
where
somebody
who's
bad. Where
were you in the firmament of trustworthiness?
Top half. Top right. half. Yeah. Right. I wasn't,
respectable.
I wasn't, you know, I was there to be popular. I wasn't.
Did you ever think
cool.
about being the drum major?
No. I don't think. They would not have. So the teachers did not love me because I was like I was goofing
bad boy.
Off and joking. Yeah, I was the bad boy.
Sure,
leather jacket. You know,
cut your sleeves off.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, exactly.
Smoking
I was the,
candy,
rolled
cigarettes.
Up the cigarette in his sleeve I like was, Schneider.
He kept the cigs in his.
Yeah,
euphonium.
roll up a Reese's peanut butter cup in the sleeve.
So were you better at the euphonium or better at marching?
I was better at the euphonium, probably. I got better at marching as I got through. I wasn't very good at it at first, but I got better as I went
Did you
along.
Think about going to college, like Roll on step. A euphonium scholarship?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Cavaliers, which I think is...
Cleveland.
No, I think it might be your school. I think it might be ISU. The Cavaliers were like a semi-professional team, and sort of a lot of us kind of had aspirations of maybe going and doing like a semi-professional thing.
Did you have a tryout?
Nah, I never ended up wanting to do it because I was like, I don't know if I want to stick with
His
this.
His marching
I,
held him back?
Yeah, screw that.
It did get like... It got boring, man. Like, all the practicing and all well, you're doing the same thing over and over again. Like,
when you keep dominating, boring. It's not fun. Yeah.
Exactly. When you're, didn't when have you're a challenge as good anymore. As I was.
Right. Word.
That's why Brady retired. Boredom.
125 DGS. So, morality check here. I saw a story last night. You guys may have seen it as well. That they busted this lady who is living in like a villa who is one of the ringleaders who hires people to go into Ulta stores and Walgreens and CVS and steal their best makeup. And then she sells it. And she was just rich as can be.
Wow.
And there's a website. It was like discountmakeup.com or something and on Amazon. And everything was discounted 80%. Question is, you know it's hot, but you also know you're not going to get in any trouble for it. Do you buy the goods? Kevin, if you can get a $300 catcher's mitt for $60, but you know it's stolen, do you buy it?
No. If I don't know or it's unsure, I mean, I would just think,
no,
I
you
just
know
wouldn't
it.
Think of it. But if I know, nah, I would do it.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably would.
If it's a small business, I would not. But if it's like, you know, Walmart.
If you showed me like a TV and you were like, $100, I know it's gonna at least going to be like an $800, $900 TV.
I don't know.
Look at Amy shaking her head.
Yeah,
I mean, think about it.
We have quite a mixed, we have quite a stew here, don't we?
I think I'm buying it. Because I said before, I'm not going to steal from like Target, Walmart,
You're
whatever.
You're just going to buy hot goods.
But I don't feel bad if they get robbed. I don't get bad.
Oh
if, I don't feel bad if somebody
I just don't know what you don't
somebody.
Get. It means that everybody else is going to pay more for all the products because that's how
they
cover losses.
They close the stores or they close the stores?
No, that's how they cover it. They raise prices.
No one's closing Walmart because someone
they're not going to close
TV.
It. They're just going to charge everyone that goes there more.
They have insurance for stuff like that.
Yeah. They're not doubling the price of TVs because somebody ganks one.
I'm not saying they double them, but you're going
to
keep adding to the overall cost. That's what businesses do.
Man, bronzer is expensive.
I don't know. I mean, TVs have like halved in price in the past, you know.
That's true. They're very cheap
years,
now.
So I don't know if that necessarily rings true. For what I'm talking about,
these
which
guys,
is expensive.
We're having a real
look at these gymnastics.
Debate.
Yeah.
Wow.
134 DGS. I was had a thought last night that, like, when I was a kid, we had, we had like five television stations. And you would watch 2, 4, or 5 news, and they were basically the same. You got the same news anywhere. And everyone watched Bob Newhart or, you know, Seinfeld when I was old or whatever it is. But it feels like we all got along better because we had like a shared experience. You know, if you said, oh, did you watch Seinfeld? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but no one went, what's Seinfeld, right? And I think there's something to that. And then this one's a little more out there, but see if you feel me on it. I also feel like growing up from, you know, 0 to 30, most everyone was within 10 or 15% of each other in intelligence and beauty. And then you had geniuses and you had just absolute gorgeous people. But for the most part, we are all bunched in the middle. Now I feel like we don't have shared experiences and the spectrum of intelligence and beauty is way, it's just like been scattered. Like more people are known for being smart. Like when I was growing up, you had Einstein, right? Mm. Or you'd have, I don't know, whoever. But no one really claimed to be especially smart, if that makes sense. And now it just seems like you have a much bigger distribution of smart and physically attractive. Is what I'm saying makes sense at all, whether you agree or not?
I get what you're saying. I just think that we have access. Whenever you're talking about like when you were growing up, you just only had access to what you had access to.
Yeah. And even when I was a grown up, a young grown up, people were just people. And you know what? I guess what it is we keep coming back to this in social media, because when I was 25, of course, there were attractive people and not attractive people. There were smart people and not smart people. But no one was showing it off. You know, no one was highlighting it. It just like, oh, my gosh, she's so pretty. Or, man, that look out for that guy. He's really smart. But people weren't out there showcasing it mm-hmm. like the Price is Right the way we are now. So I guess it really nothing's changed. I guess it's just my perception because now I see everyone's showcase.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I also think, too, that we process the world around us different when we're in our 20s than when we're in our 50s.
Sure.
Like. And it's not a smart thing. It's not like we're, you know, these kids are dumb or, I mean, I know I felt like I was, now looking at it, I was dumb at 22.
Well, put it this way.
But you just don't know what you don't know.
I think, and I'm going to say especially females, but that's just because I have my daughter in my mind. It could be the guys as well. But it seems like today, way more very attractive people think of themselves as subpar.
I think that might be true.
Well, you just have so much to compare yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're comparing
exactly.
against the world as opposed to your high school.
Right. And
as opposed to your community.
You're taking genetically gifted, beautiful people who then have the best makeup, who then take the best photographs, who then manipulate them.
Yep.
And
yep.
then, right?
Yep.
So it's like if when you're looking in your mirror, your actual mirror, how do you not feel like a troll?
Go ahead, Amy.
Oh, no, I was, you might. Feel the same way. I feel like that, especially for women, has always been there, but maybe I'm just reminded of it more with Instagram because I remember being very young and Cindy Crawford was the supermodel and she was on the covers of magazines at grocery stores because for me, checking out at the grocery store line with my mom, I'm a younger girl. The only time I felt the way I feel when I look at Instagram every 5 minutes was at the grocery line because I would see the magazines and Cindy Crawford. And I remember watching, of all things, Cindy Crawford on Oprah saying this magazine cover, like, I am a supermodel. It's my job to be fit and beautiful. And she said that Photoshop took off the equivalent of 2 inches off of each thigh to make her legs smaller. And that was on Oprah. And that just struck me because even then, those were impossible standards. If Cindy Crawford isn't perfect enough, no one can be perfect enough. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like with Instagram, it's like seeing that Cindy Crawford photo every 10 minutes.
I also just feel like you're right, Dave, our culture has changed. I had this on the show sheet last week and I didn't get a chance to bring it up, but there was a girl who she's 21 years old and she owns her home free and clear. And she posted about it on TikTok and people were coming after her going like, there's no way you did this by yourself. Like you're just bragging, you're this, you're that. And I had the thought like, well, yeah, maybe she deserves it a little bit because bragging isn't polite. And then I had to stop and go like, I don't know, is that true anymore?
Did bragging isn't polite?
Yeah, it seems like we all brag. That seems like. The point of social media is to be like, look at me and look at what I'm doing, which is very different from the way I was raised. And but it just seems like there's been like this cultural shift of like, it's okay to show off now, which I mean, is good and bad.
It's an interesting thought.
But it's just different than it was before we had this outlet.
But how do you impress anybody anymore?
Mm.
Because everybody's at the beach all the time now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everybody's showing me at the beach like, yeah, dude, seen it. Everybody's at the beach.
Well, that's
everybody's
why people
doing
do all these
cool.
crazy things.
Right.
That's why they do the hanging off the railroad tracks on the bridge, taking the little selfie like we're kissing, because it's got to be crazy to get attention.
What are you looking at?
I know.
You never seen this?
Hello.
You never seen these things? Oh, my. People they're posing for pictures, mostly Instagram, but I think some of it also videos on TikTok. So it'd be like a husband and wife or a boyfriend, girlfriend, and they try to give like a little smooch picture in the most dangerous places you could possibly think of. Like one of them is the dude is holding onto the bridge, like with one hand, holding her with the other. She's holding him and that they're posing for a photo. And that's they're like hanging off the edge of a bridge.
Little smooch photo, you say.
Yeah.
Little smooch photo. Their relationship.
They're doing it. Smooches.com.
Yeah. thought was.
What'd you call it? Dangerous?
He went on Smooch Instagram.
Hold on, I got to register that website.
He went on register that. He went on Smooch Book.
Don't go on Smooch Book.
His wife's upstairs. She just hears him downstairs go like, there they go again. What's that, a volcano? That's great.
Dangerous Smooches.
Oh my God. It's the same thing as all the people that climb the towers and stuff like that. They just do that. Yeah. You got to get attention.
Oh, that I can't watch.
I can watch it, but
I
can't
Russian
even imagine
tower
doing
climbers
it.
That yeah. don't even, they're like 1,000-foot towers and they climb with nothing.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm good.
Nothing but a selfie stick.
I'm all set. Thanks for asking. But, you know, I think about this a lot with shared experiences that you're talking about, Dave, because when I watch Saturday Night Live, it's not a ton, but I'll get, you know, Josh Brolin was just on, so I watched all of his, you know, his sketches on YouTube. And I think it has to be so difficult now to be a sketch comedy writer and think of something that everybody has seen and will know what you're talking about.
I agree.
And referring to when it was just five networks and you could pick one of the five networks and make fun of it.
I totally get it.
Everybody knows what you're talking about. But now you gotta make fun of TikTok and think, does everybody know what this is? Yeah. Or has everybody seen Game of Thrones? And even though it was really popular, not everybody was watching it.
Yeah.
It has to be really challenging to be
a
sketch writer.
Totally get it. Yeah. Totally agree. What's the best smooch you've seen?
Probably the bridge one.
That one got you.
That's the only one I can think of. I mean, I saw it on TikTok it might have been on Twitter.
Are there any dangerous smooches mishaps.com?
I have not. No, but there was a news
story. That is so up your alley.
No, there was a news story about that. That there was a couple trying to pose for a big fame, like a crazy selfie, and they fell and died.
Mm. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Man, last night we were off early, so I got to see the 5 p.m. news, and I happened to be watching Channel 5 with my buddy Mike Bush, and Mike doesn't write the news, he delivers it.
They were sitting on the couch with Mike Bush.
That's what I thought. I was like, wow. Hey, Mike,
my buddy
I'm
Mike
off early,
over.
I'm going to come over.
My buddy Mike came over.
If I win the lottery, Mike's just going to tell me the news every night. Yeah. I like that.
You want to come over and watch the news?
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
I hear you're in this episode.
But I'm not exaggerating, because I looked at the clock, and it was 5:09 before they stopped doing shootings and stabbings.
Yeah.
Crazy. And I get it. If it bleeds, it leads. I understand.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of stuff that bleeds. But then he almost broke my neck, because he went from that to a comparison of vacuum cleaners. And I'm like, this is what the news is today? Just like shootings and vacuum cleaner comparisons?
If you think this city sucks, you should see this vacuum cleaner.
You need to join a pun think tank.
That's one of the good ones, Amy.
A pun pack.
Condescending.
See, you could be in it too.
And Amy knows condescending.
Yeah,
trust me.
That
means I talk down to people.
Oh, okay. Thanks for explaining.
Who was that said it about country music? There was that.
It was your comedian.
Wasn't it like Martin Short or something that said, was talking about country music? He's like, I'm not saying, you know what? I ruined it.
Spit it out.
Forget it. I can't remember the word he used. Anyway, brainstorming over here.
We've probably talked about this years in the past, but I just became reacquainted with it. The second sleep, the concept of second sleep back in the olden days. You guys know this?
No.
So in Victorian times through the 1800s, the common practice was you would go to bed, say, 9 p.m., 10 p.m., because you're working hard. And at midnight or 1, everyone would wake up, usually have a meal or read or pray or, you know, do what you do. And then you'd go back to sleep for your second sleep. And they maintain that even today, like I wake up every morning in the 3 o'clock hour, and maybe you guys wake up at 1 p.m. or 1 a.m. But they say that that is a relic, and that is the way we really are made to sleep. Two separate sleeps. With like an hour or two in the middle. People would go out. They, you know, like the streets would be buzzing at midnight and people going out and grocery shopping and then coming back and going back to sleep. Does that just sound horrendous?
Yeah,
it sounds awful. I will wake up in the middle of the night, though, but I don't ever think I need to just get up and do stuff.
Grocery shopping.
Yeah.
That didn't go as well as I thought it would.
Yeah.
Everybody went, yuck. Do not want to do that.
Second sleep bit.
Isn't it like a siesta?
No, that's a nap in
no,
the day.
No, that's like a 2 o'clock nap.
Yeah, that's an afternoon nappy.
We should do that.
We're sitting here talking about who stays up late and who gets up early, and I was talking about how I've been on a run lately where I've been getting up about 5:45 or 6 a.m., and I was saying to Amy, who gets up that early to run, like, yeah, I'm really looking forward to when it's light outside because then maybe I can go walk or go to the gym or something, and knowing full well that won't happen. and it made me think of my good friend Rach. We went on a walk today, and she was sharing with me her to-do list.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was my to-do list for 2024. I made this on, like, New Year's Eve or something. And not meeting any of my goals.
She just
not
kept
a single
going through
one.
Each
That's
one.
That's awesome. I was like, book the Rachel Zimmerman show a month out. That's not happening. Make a video every month for the Dave Glover show. Where are those? Those haven't showed up. Work on Japanese every single day. I'm forgetting all of the Japanese I know. I'm literally losing the hiragana that I memorized. So it's going great. 2024.
You just said a Japanese word.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the name of their alphabet.
Well, that's more than we know.
Yeah. Right, but I had learned the entire alphabet, and now I'm like, wait, what is
Did you really?
Again? I had learned, like, they have, like, three alphabets. It's really confusing. So hiragana is one of them.
Kind
of
show-offs.
I had learned that.
We did it with 26 letters.
Can you sing the alphabet? Which one?
So, yeah, 2024 not going so great as far as the old goals go.
Have you tried writing the Japanese?
No, that's really hard.
Yeah. I love that.
It is. It's difficult.
That's a real good reason not to bother.
Baby steps, people.
Yeah.
Hey, what's Saudi Arabia trying to do with tennis? Same thing?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. I don't know a lot of the details.
I thought they were having like 8 people show up to their soccer games. Did they not learn a lesson?
Yeah, I don't think that worked, but the live thing has worked.
Has it?
Well, I mean, they've drew a bunch of the best golfers in the world, and now there's a partnership with the PGA of some kind. It's not really smoothed out yet, but like they've come to some agreement.
I know you're not a Saudi sports or politics expert, but do you feel like it's worked pretty well, the sports washing?
I don't think so. Like, I don't think people are changing their minds about what Saudi Arabia is. But their plan, though, is not about now. Their plan is about 10, 15, 20 years
from now.
So
people will grow up with...
Where they will grow up hearing the name associated with positive things and not dismembering journalists in an embassy.
But also they're trying to diversify because I think they're envisioning a time where oil is not
correct
the thing.
Correct.
And they're trying to be something other than that.
Wait a minute. I'm not a big fan of them, but I mean, they're thinking more forward than we are.
Everyone does. Raj, what do you think of the Nick Saban deal?
So he said he retired because he doesn't like the NIL thing, and he thinks it's more difficult. He was sitting next to Ted Cruz for some reason.
Yeah, it was a hearing.
It was a hearing.
No good reason.
Actually, I think it was called a round table, not a hearing. But
look, man, it seems to be a mess right now, but I think that ultimately coaches, universities will figure it out. But the problem is that they have for so long pushed back against the idea of paying players, that now players are getting an opportunity to make something, and it levels it for them a bit, and the coaches don't like that it's not easy.
They don't like losing power.
That's right.
They used to have 100% of the power, and now they don't. So that's why, you know, this is the thing that bothers me, because I've been back and forth with people on Twitter on this for the last day or two. The thing that drives me crazy is I never saw Nick Saban or any of these other big coaches in Washington, D.C., trying to help their players in the past.
Right.
It's only when they lose power that they go whining to Congress to try to fix it.
The quote I remember from him last night was, players are no longer interested in being, what was the word, developed.
They want money.
They want money.
Yeah, they ask about money. Okay, well then...
So do the coaches.
Yeah, exactly. Then your salary was $10 million a year? We'll take $2 million if money is not that big of a deal.
And the thing that kills me is I have a lot of respect for Nick Saban. I think he's a good guy. He's obviously one of the greatest coaches ever to live in college. That man jumped jobs at every opportunity.
No question.
He left Michigan State to go to LSU. He left LSU to go to the Dolphins. He left the Dolphins to go to Alabama. Every time it was better for him to leave, he did.
So does every major college coach.